welcome to this week's Yes to Life show. My name's Robin Daly and I'm the chairman and the founder of the UK charity Yes to Life. If you're new to the show, you may not know about Yes to Life. It's a charity set up to help people with cancer to access integrative medicine. And integrative medicine is what the show's all about. I talk to a wide range of specialists, as well as many extraordinary individuals with experience to share, looking into the many ways in which the developing art and science of integrative medicine is improving outcomes for cancer. My guest today has her own harrowing but inspiring story to tell, and she now dedicates all her energy to helping others face and manage similar difficulties through her own not-for-profit organisation. Her name is Charlotte Crowell, and her organisation is Pure Helps to Cure. I'm speaking to her over Skype at her home in Ilford. Hi, Charlotte. Thanks very much indeed for coming on the show today.
Hi, thank you for inviting me.
So, if you don't mind, I'd like to start by getting right to the heart of why we're talking today. At an age when many young people are beginning to find their way in the world and are looking forward, maybe with excitement, towards a future filled with potential, your life unexpectedly took a dramatically different turn. Would you like to tell us what happened?
Yes. At the age of 17, I found a lump under my arm. I went to the doctors. They thought it was my arm spray. It went away and then it came back again, but even bigger. And then I found little lumps in my neck. When I found that, I went back to the doctor and they sent me for a biopsy. When I got the results back, I found I had lymphoblastic lymphoma, which is a cancer of the lymph nodes. I then went on to do chemotherapy and I stayed in a teenage cancer ward in London.
This was at UCH, yeah?
Yeah, in Euston.
And so you had treatment over how long a period?
I was on treatment for 2.5 years.
2.5 years, and during that time you had surgery, chemotherapy and radiotherapy?
No, it was just chemotherapy. The only surgery I had is when I had the biopsy.
Right.
But I had chemotherapy over a period of time.
Hmm. Okay, and this was obviously a massive shock in itself, but it was quite a life-changing event for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was definitely. It was a lot of mental stuff that I went through and physical stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to go into a bit of that. And so one of the things that it's changed for you, I think, is how you see life itself, how you see yourself. And maybe you want to just home in on the most important changes that it's made to the way that you're leading your life now.
Well, it definitely matured me a lot and it's made me be so grateful for everything in my life. I feel like I took a lot of things for granted and now I try and look at the positive things in life because of the side effects that I went through.
Mm. So maybe you'd like to tell us a little bit about those in that case.
Well, at first I had side effects from the steroids that made me hallucinate, made me think I had someone speaking to me in my head.
Wow.
Mentally, it was very difficult. I even tried to commit suicide at one point. Mm. Then after those side effects, when I had a chemotherapy drug that ran through my system for 24 hours, 2 weeks later, I woke up. I lifted my arm up. It just dropped down. It was like I had a dead arm. I thought I'd slept on it, but it was more than that. I got up to walk, and I was walking all staggered. It was like I was having a stroke, but it wasn't a stroke. Mm. My mum drove me to the hospital with my neighbour, and within about 3 hours, my whole body completely shut down. I couldn't walk, I couldn't talk, I couldn't even swallow.
Wow. So this was a direct result of the chemotherapy then?
Yeah, from the methotrexate.
Right, so methotrexate is a very common chemotherapy drug, but it sounds like this was a very unusual response to it, is that right?
Yes, it was the first time that the doctors had ever seen a side effect like this from the drug.
Mm. Right, and do you know how rare it is? Do you know what how many people get this side effect?
I'm not sure how many people have had it after me, but as far as I know, I was the first person to actually get the side effect because of I was on a new protocol. So as far as I know, I was the first person to get it. I've tried to research it online and I couldn't find anyone else. But I know there's been a couple of people who had it after me as well.
Right, so it's an old drug, but it's a new protocol, a new way they were delivering it.
Yeah, so it was a different concoction of drugs together.
I see, so it wasn't just the methotrexate. Right, okay, so what happened in the long term then? So you were almost paralysed, really, yeah? So what came after that?
Well, the doctor wasn't sure if I'd be able to walk again, but I just had to keep positive. I had to keep going because of the only thing that was really keeping me going was a thought of knowing, one day I'm going to walk again. So I did physiotherapy, I did acupuncture, I did massage, I started training with various personal trainers, and over time I was able to start walking again and my talking come back as well. But it's still not 100%.
Well, that's massive. And of course, cancer is one thing, and that's difficult enough to deal with, particularly at 17. But this is kind of a completely unexpected and terrible extra thing to deal with, which is potentially much worse than the disease.
Yeah, definitely. The only thing that I can think of as a positive out of it is that when I did finish my treatment, I didn't have the worries of thinking the cancer would come back, because I was just so focused on trying to get my walking and my talking going. I didn't even have time to worry about the cancer coming back.
There's a complete distraction from that. Well, that is, of course, the major worry of most cancer patients. They're finished treatment, they're sent off home, and they just sit there and worry. So that is a sort of a backhanded bonus, I suppose. But, yeah. How long did it take you before you began to feel like you could, live a normal life?
Yes, because of it wasn't just the physical aspect, it was also the mental aspect. I was a very confident girl prior to having cancer, and with my body being shut down, I was then worried about how people saw me. I had anxiety problems, which I still suffer with a bit now. But over time, I just thought, if I want to live a normal life, I'm just going to have to try and get out there and do whatever I can do.
Right. So coming to terms with these kind of psychological difficulties, particularly at that age, of course, when you're 17, you're very self-conscious usually, and you know, you're trying to find your way in the world. So to have yourself suddenly disabled in the way that you were and then be expected to go back and face the world again is a huge challenge.
Yeah, it definitely is.
So did you get specific help with the psychological side of things?
I've never actually seen a counsellor yet, but I did help, through meditation and through self-help books and watching other people's videos, speaking to my family. That kind of helped me through a bit because I had a really strong family and friend support. So that was great, and really helped me.
That's pretty amazing. So you really forged your own path, basically.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that characteristic of forging your own path seems to be coming out in other ways. When I talk to people, if they've written a book, I tend to talk about it towards the end of the show. But in this case, I thought it'd be good to talk about it now, because I think I'm right in saying that writing that book was quite an important part of your journey back to being involved in the world again.
Definitely. I wrote the book and it felt so therapeutic to just get everything down. And when I actually read it back, I had to cry because I couldn't believe that I had managed to get through all of that. And I didn't actually realise how much I really had gone through until I read the book. And I was a bit scared to put it out there at first because I worried about everyone knowing absolutely everything about me, even including my family, because of there was stuff in there not even they knew that I kept in my head. But I knew that getting at the truth of how it can really be for a cancer patient was an important thing to do, because if we ever hear that the patient has passed or survived, we don't really hear about their journey in between, and it really is a massive mental and physical struggle before and even post chemotherapy.
Wow, well, I can understand that. It's obviously, it's a courageous thing to put it all down and then to actually put it out in public, as you say. But I imagine it was quite liberating as well to no longer be hiding.
It really was. It's really nice to be able to look at the book and say, I did that. Like, I've gone through, but I'm still standing. And I'm still doing good things and trying to help other people.
Fantastic. So do you want to just tell everybody listening about your book, the name? And
okay. The name of the book is Cancer, The Hidden Truth. And it's just about my emotional, my physical journey. It gives tips to people. It's there to motivate people, inspire people. It's just an all-rounder, really. If anyone who wants to know more about cancer or anything like that, this is definitely a book for you to see what it's all about.
So it's likely to be as helpful to people who are supporting people with cancer or have friends with cancer as it is to actually people who have cancer.
Most definitely, because then you really get a true insight into what a person is going through.
Great. Okay, so now I'd like to go on to talk a little bit about Pure Helps to Cure. Great snappy name. Brilliant. So this is something that you set up. This is your initiative to help other people. Yeah. So it's a non-profit. Its mission statement says, to bring people back to basics in order to help show people how to cure, alleviate and prevent illnesses naturally, as well as giving them knowledge to improve day-to-day living through positive awareness. Okay, that all sounds completely and utterly on message for us at Yes to Life. Sounds brilliant. Can you start by telling us exactly why you wanted to set up Pure Helps to Cure?
I wanted to get information out there for people to start taking care of their lifestyle in a more natural way. We get a headache, we get a cold, the first thing we do is we go to the cupboard, we get paracetamols, or we run to the doctor and get antibiotics. But there's so many things in our cupboards or so many natural ways to alleviate these pains, and just even our diet, which can affect us from not getting a disease. But I just wanted to kind of spread the word and help people, like, really think about how they're living their life and how they can maybe change it to become more natural in order to not be putting these chemicals within the body.
And why do you think that that's so important, to always aim to be as natural as possible, I suppose, in what you use?
Well, our body finds it harder to break down chemicals, and obviously the side effects I've experienced from steroids and from, like, the chemotherapy, it's made me very anti-medication. So I started to, like, research herbal medicine, and I'm a nutritional therapist because of I like to research and then give back to people to say, okay, you got a cold, don't go get antibiotics. As soon as you feel the cold coming on, mix up some garlic, some ginger, some lime, hot water, and then just drink that for a few days. And if you catch it right at the beginning, that will really get rid of your problem, instead of waiting until it's too late and having to go on antibiotics, which can also cause other problems.
Oh, absolutely right. On a recent show, I was talking to someone about the sort of increased understanding of the gut microbiome and really what we're doing when we kill off all those bugs down there. And it's pretty major, especially in respect of our immune system, of course. Okay. So can we just talk a little bit about the organisation now? What you've got on offer? I mean, you're saying you're, like, primarily educational. Maybe you want to just pad that out a bit and say exactly what you're offering.
Well, I just offer information to people and about natural health. There's also, you can do a free health test on the website just to give you a better idea of like your lifestyle and get some free tips on things you might be able to do to help you out in everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
The book, Cancer of the Hidden Truth, is actually self-published through the company because of the profits that go to charities and also projects that Pure Health Studio is doing, which is helping get more complementary therapy within hospitals and stuff like that.
Right.
So it's all linked together.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, in what forms do you get information to people? Is this through events as well as through written material and video?
I've done a few events already, spoken right. events, and I'm available to do like workshops and stuff like that also.
Okay.
I've recently just started a YouTube blog where I'll be like talking and giving tips and stuff like that. And through the website itself, there's loads of posts on there that give tips and information as well.
Very good. I noticed that you also have your own website, charlottecroll.org.uk. How do these two relate to each other? What's the, you know, how do they work together?
They're linked together just because of, even if you click on anything in there, it does link back to Pure Health to Cure. But the Charlotte Crowell website was more to just talk about me and what I'm doing as myself, and more to focus on the book, whereas if you just go to Pure Health Secure, it's more just telling you posts of natural things and remedies that you can use, and exercises and complementary therapies and stuff like that. So the Charlotte Crowell one's more about what I've done, like media, press, and my vlog, and all of those sort of things.
Right, a bit more of a personal site for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And just to give me an idea, how long is it since you set up Pure Health to Cure?
Pure Health to Cure has been running for a year in March.
Okay, so it's quite recent. Okay, and are you doing this single-handed?
Yeah, I do have a team that helps me with the website stuff as well, and sometimes I get guest blog speakers who give information about natural health. I like to go and speak to other complementary therapists to like get their output on the sort of things that they can help other people with as well. So
it's a big deal. So it sounds to me like you're on this full time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's my life. I like to help people.
Yeah, I can see that. So, you know, like you, I'm convinced that the continuing relentless rise in the cancer stats is largely due to things that we're doing to ourselves, self-inflicted sickness, and bad choices about how to live. And these are all, of course, fueled by lots of corporations and their advertising to get us to make bad choices. One of the ways we are damaging our health that's getting a lot more exposure now than it used to is stress. Now,
yeah
from my position, let's say more advancing years, you know, I think back to my time as a teenager growing up, and I think, you know, we were pretty lost, you know, and there was just a lot of stuff to take us away from having any idea who we are or any sense of autonomy. And we were just part of this herd, you know, mindlessly being driven along by lots of outside forces generally. But I look now at what's happening now and I think, oh my God, it's 100 times worse than it ever was when we were young. You know, literally more, you know, it's just like got social media driving this stuff forward 24/7. You know, the concerns that you have as a kind of vulnerable teenager trying to find their way in the world are just like they're wide open to this huge sort of tidal wave of stuff. And so, you know, my thinking is that the stresses on people, apart from the ones that we all know about the way people are being asked to work 24/7 and always be on their mobile picking up emails and all this stuff that's going on in life generally, I think it has to be one of the things that's playing a large part in the rise in chronic disease, which is startling, alarming. So, I'm just interested to hear what you think about that yourself. What sort of place stress plays, along with everything else we're doing wrong, how big a part do you think it plays?
I think it plays a major part, because when you're not able to do what you really want to do, it puts your body under immense stress. Not being able to sleep fully at night, having broken sleep, that's stressful for you. Not having you time, that's stressful for you. I think it's so important that even though you're living the busy life, doing the 9-to-5, looking after the kids, that you do take that time out. Like, even if it's 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the evening, just sit and be in silence. Just to let your brain just think and just relax. Or even exercise is a great way to de-stress. Because if you're just going and going and going, eventually something has to give.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you can't keep running a car for years and years without giving a service. The body is the same way. Without servicing your body and doing things that help to alleviate stress, it's going to break down just like a car.
Okay, well, look, you mentioned mindfulness there, meditation. Do you want to say a little bit about this? I mean, this is obviously, it's a very, again, a surprisingly huge topic, which, you know, in the West, only a few geeks were into meditation 25 years ago, but now it's like happening in corporations and all sorts of places.
Yeah.
It's had a huge rise in attention given to it as being important to people, particularly around the word stress. So can you just talk for yourself? You say you've used it yourself. Why do you think it's so useful?
I think it's good because of our mind is always ticking over and ticking over, and sometimes we just need that time where we're not watching the TV or we're not reading a book, that we just sit there and just think of nothing. We just concentrate on our breathing. I know some people get scared of the word meditation, so you can call it silent time and just go in your room, shut the door, and just lay there, just have peace, because it really does feel soothing. And I find that when I do meditate in the morning, it really sets me up for my day, because I'm able to clear my mind of everything. So it's been a great help for me. And even visualization really helped me through my cancer journey. When I was getting chemotherapy, I'd lay there on the bed, close my eyes, and imagine that I was somewhere else on a nice beach or like out with my friends, and I weren't in the hospital. And things like that really helped me through.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, I think people who haven't tried meditation find it hard to imagine that this isn't just plain boring. So they can't imagine anything worse, because, you know, of course, the drive in society these days is to be constantly filling yourself with stuff, you know, with media, with talk. And the whole idea of doing absolutely nothing is kind of anathema and just equals boring. So it's one of those things you've got to try.
Yeah, definitely. And at first, I'm not going to lie, it's hard. Like, I used to sit there, and you know how hard it is to just not think of nothing? Like, I'd sit there, and all the thoughts from the day would just run into my head. I'm like, oh, gosh, how am I meant to keep my mind quiet? Mm-hmm. But don't get stressed out about it. Just let all the thoughts flood, and eventually, over time, your mind will clear. It's about practice.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, on the website, Pure Helps to Cure, you have a page that's kind of with an unusual title. It says Judging and Opinions is the title. Why have you got a page about that, and what's it for?
Well, it plays a big part in my life, because where my body shut down and going on the road and seeing a lot of people stare at me because of my walk didn't look normal and my voice wasn't normal or what would be thought to be normal, I was scared of other people's opinions and I was scared of being judged. But it's also something, when I thought about it, that I do to other people. So I was so worried about other people judging me. But then when I'm on the street, it's hard to not stare at anyone. It's hard to just keep a blank, like keep a blank stare and a blank focus. Like, you do look at people.
Of course.
But it's so important to not judge people by the way they walk, by the way they talk, by how they are, because we do not know what their journey has been. We do not know what they've been through. We have not walked in their shoes. So for me, it's something that I've learned through my personal journey, is that we don't know other people's journeys. And because of that, we don't have the right to judge, because no one is perfect.
Well, that's a great thing you're saying. I mean, you know, I think of myself, you know, how easy it is, for example, to group all very old people together and just say they're all very old people, you know. And, you know, and of course, some of them have had extraordinary lives that make my life look as dull as dishwater, you know, and have done the most amazing things. And now they're old, you know, so what? You know, it's, you're absolutely right. It's so easy to just put people in a box because of something to do with them, like what they look like or how they're acting, and think you know all about them, you know, when you know nothing.
It's true.
Well, you've obviously had a powerful lesson to learn personally on that one. Being in the position where people might be looking, you know, at you for rather obvious reasons and making those kind of judgments, it's the kind of thing that to a teenager is a nightmare. You don't want anybody looking at you for any other reason than saying that you're the best thing on the planet. That's the only reason people are allowed to look at you. So really hard to deal with. And but again, I imagine you've gained some fantastic strength from actually going through that and coming out the other side. It took you to the edge of wanting to live at all, obviously. But, you know, you don't look like somebody who's having second thoughts about being alive now.
Definitely not.
Okay, so we hear quite a bit these days about the gifts of cancer, something that many people find quite nonsensical, even insulting to those who are suffering through treatment. But often it's people like yourself who know that suffering themselves, who've seen it from the inside, who are actually writing this stuff. So there's got to be something in it. And if you were to describe what you gained from your difficulties and your illness and your treatment, what would that be?
I would say that the experience really woke me up to life. And before, I was just coasting along mindlessly. And through going through that journey, it started to make me analyze everything about my life, and to be more positive and to be more grateful. Mm-hmm. And it also brought me closer to my family. So I'm grateful for that, definitely. Because without cancer, even though I don't know where my life would have gone to, I know that where I am now is a good place.
Yes, it's surprising like the things that we need, in a way, in order to wake us up to what we have around us and what to value. That's
Yeah.
It seems to be the way of being human, is that if we can take it for granted, we will.
Yeah, it's true.
So would you like to say a bit about your plans for Pure Helps to Cure, what you're thinking of doing in the coming years? I mean, it's fairly new. You've done a lot already, obviously, but I bet you've got some ideas about what you want to do.
Yeah, definitely. I would like to start doing like seminars and also workshops in schools and universities and colleges, because if that was around the age where I was diagnosed, I think it's important for those people to know like more about healthy food and stuff like that, because of that was one of the things that I struggled with when I was 17. Being at college, no thing to take lunch, you just go and buy junk food. And I think that was one of the reasons I became ill, because I wasn't looking after myself. So I'd love to really push the word out there and try and influence the younger people to like eat more healthy and be more mindful about how they treat their body.
Yeah, well, that's obviously something you particularly got to offer, having with your personal experience. I mean, that's the great thing about personal experience. We've got something to share at the other end of it, haven't we? So,
definitely.
I can see you could do a lot talking to young people, and that would be very valuable indeed. Well, perhaps we can do something together. Of course, Yes to Life puts on lots of workshops and seminars and things, so maybe you can come and be a speaker at one of ours.
That would be great.
That would be really nice. Yeah. Okay, and how about on the writing front? You've written one book. Have you got any thoughts about another one? I mean, that was very particular, obviously, that one. It was your story, but you say you're in a different place now. You're trying to do a job, and so might you be thinking about writing something else?
I would, but not just yet. I think I'm going to continue working on my mobility and stuff like that. And when that is at a place where I feel more comfortable, I'd love to write a book more about my rehabilitation and just go through those tips, because I know those things are not yet out there. So if I can share an experience that took me 8 years or more to go through and help someone get through it in the space of a year or two, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, it's a shortcut. Yeah, this kind of information is hard won in the first place, isn't it? Is doing it as you've done, obviously finding out what works, what doesn't work, trying things.
Yeah, it's all trial and error.
Yes, trial and error. And so, but at the other end of it, you can, of course, yeah, offer someone else quite a shortcut to the same thing.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Talking about that rehabilitation, I mean, you've made it clear from what you said that kind of complementary medicine has played a large part in that. Do you want to say a bit more about that? What kind of approaches you've looked at and why? And what you found out about what is really helpful?
One of the biggest ones for me was herbal medicine and acupuncture. And I found the herbal medicine was great because of so many toxins have been left in the body from the chemotherapy. It needed to be cleansed out. And it was a great way to get like a natural detox, and it really helped me feel literally more clean inside. And the acupuncture helped me a lot with my mobility and with just my body feeling better, having more energy and all things like that. Acupuncture, they can do really amazing things at the moment. So I love that. I also tried out kinesiology, but it was a different type because of their words with crystals and energy and stuff, and that was a nice experience. That was really good. I also tried out reflexology. Now that was really great for me because of my feet and my hands were numb for a long time after my treatment, and they get very cold, and I feel like the reflexology has really helped bring sensation and stuff back into my feet, and that's been great, definitely amazing. Exercise wise, I love yoga. I think stretching is great, and the way I do my yoga is a little bit of meditation as well with the yoga, so it's very relaxing, and I'm stretching my body, and it gives me more flexibility, better balance and coordination. So that was an all-rounder great thing as well.
Yeah, there's a huge amount on offer from yoga for a vast number of different reasons, isn't there? I mean, it seems to really be something that the body benefits from in an immense number of ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. And the whole sensation thing with your hands and your feet and everything, is that like 80, 90%? Where is it in relation to how it should be?
Where it should be, I'd say I'm at 80%, 85% capacity.
Right.
Before I started the reflexology, it was probably about 45%. So that's a massive, for me, that was a massive.
It's a huge difference, isn't it? Yeah, so it's really helped you a lot. Yeah, and are you able to live independently completely at this point, or do you need support?
Yeah.
You are, right.
I can, yeah.
All right, great. Well, that's obviously due in large part to your own initiatives, basically. This has been a DIY job, getting yourself back on the road again through your own determination.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, it's very inspiring. So just wanted to finish off by asking you whether you've got some particular message you'd like to give to people who may be struggling to come to terms with that having their life completely changed, like yours was by cancer, maybe particularly young people. Yeah, anything you want to pass on to them?
Okay. It may be difficult now, but just remember that your current situation is not your final destination. So things can always improve and always get better. You just got to keep positive, keep in the right mindset and have faith.
Okay, and would you like to give details of both your websites for people to have a look at?
Yes, my website, my personal one is www.charlottecrowell.org.uk, and my organisation is www.purehelptocure.com. I also have an Instagram for cancer survivors and people going through cancer, which has got 15,000 followers.
Wow.
That is we.cancervive, spelled CANCERVIVE.
Right, amazing. So that's a fantastic following. Great. You obviously are providing inspiration to a lot of people. I hope this show helps you do that for a lot more. We've got quite a few listeners. So,
thank you.
Yeah, no, it's been a real pleasure to talk to you, and I hope we'll be seeing some more of you.
Thank you very much for inviting me on.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's so great talking to people like Charlotte. You simply can't help but be inspired by someone who rises above extraordinary difficulties with such determination. Do take a look at her website, charlottecrowell.org.uk, and that's Charlotte, CHARLOTTE, Crowell, CROWL, charlottecrowell.org.uk, where you can also click through to her Pure Helps to Cure website. And while you're there, check out her book, Cancer, The Hidden Truth, available on the site. As usual, if you look at the Yes to Life website, under Media Centre in the left-hand sidebar, and then UK Health Radio, you can find links to resources for today's show. I mentioned the programme of Yes to Life workshops and seminars earlier. Coming up in the next few weeks, we have events in London, Brighton, near Oxford, and in Manchester, covering subjects such as cookery, exercise, nutrition, mindfulness, herbal medicine, and of course, integrative medicine. Make sure you visit the Yes to Life website, that's yestolife.org.uk, to find out details of all these events and to book. Lastly, a reminder that if you enjoy the show, all my past shows, covering a huge range of topics and brilliant guests, is available on Listen on Demand on the Yes to Life show page at UK Health Radio. Just scroll down the page to see them all. I look forward to bringing you another Yes to Life show next week, where my guests will be from a new generation of oncologists who acknowledge and look to harness the power of nutrition, Dr. Ailsa White. Goodbye.